on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Oh, yeah. Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes in midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
From Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
Oh, hold on, boy. Come on, let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, game time is Sunday. Wolf. Showtime is right now. I hope you're ready to come off the ball right now with malice.
Yes, Paul, I am. Continue.
Usually we start every season by saying what? It's our pleasure, our distinct pleasure to be back on the Big Red Rage. Here we are. Here it is. No doubt we are pleased and honored to be back with the 12th season of the Big Red Rage.
Wow. 12 years.
12 years. Okay. Fifth year at Marley's, by the way. That'll be September 6th. Right now we're at Cardinals camp. Hashtag Cards camp on Twitter, by the way. I think we can also safely say, though, Wolf, that it is the distinct pleasure of our player host to be back for a second season, mainly because, well, just like any training camp in the NFL, there was a lot of competition for this gig. A lot of his teammates were gunning for his spot here on the Big Red Rage. It started in the OTAs. It went through the mini camps. But Kerry Rhodes is back to join us.
Yeah.
He won that job just like he's going to be a starter in the Cardinals' defensive backfield. Kerry, welcome back, and happy birthday, gall dang it.
Yes, thanks for having me back. You know, a couple of guys were actually trying to pay me to get this job.
So
it is a big deal.
Really?
It's a big deal now, and today is my birthday, and I'm feeling a little older, but I'm okay.
You know, speaking of a big deal, and you mentioned it, this is your birthday.
Yep.
How old are you, Kerry?
No comment.
Wolf. Okay, come on.
Wolf, he's 29 and 13 months.
29. Did you hit the big 3-0?
You can't say that, can you?
Is that what you are?
I am 3-0.
Okay, wow. It's just a number, Kerry. Come on now. Just a number. It's not going to impact you in any way, shape, or form.
You know what? I feel great to be 30, though. I mean, it's a great year. It's a great number, a great age to be. I think, you know, in your 20s, you make all your mistakes, and now you're in your 30s, and you get to get to laugh at those mistakes and move forward. So it's good.
30s is like your 20s with wisdom and maybe some cash in your pocket. That's basically what the 30s are going to be for you. You know what I mean?
It sounds good. I like that analogy.
But I'm with you because I had a hard time. Wasn't too long ago that I turned 40, but I had a hard time saying the F word for a couple of years. So it was like, you know, 39 and 27 months. You know, I just did the math.
I like that one,
though.
I like the 29 and 13 months. That was pretty cool.
I see. Okay.
So how was your off season, Kerry? How was it? Coming into training camp.
Off season was great, man. I went away. I didn't go to New York or L.A. this time. I went to North Carolina and just trained. Got away from everything. Got away from everybody. And my body feels great. I'm in a great place mentally. Great place in my personal life. So everything is great, man.
I'm living vicariously through those arms. I mean, seriously, you are jacked up this training camp. My goodness. So did you put on weight, strength? I mean, how'd you go?
I just put on muscle. I mean, I was around the same. I actually lost probably 2 pounds, but came in around like 220 and moving pretty fast. So it's been good, man. Foot's feeling great. So looking for a big year from number 25.
Yeah, you look about as motivated as you've ever been going into an NFL season, correct?
There's no question.
All right.
No question.
We know another guy who's motivated. He's seated straight across from us. He went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. We might be talking to Patrick Peterson next on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford.
P-Square.
Jones ready for the snap. He's got it at the 12-yard line. Cards come after it. He gets the kick away. It's high. And D. Peterson backing up. He'll field it at the 20. Run right. Slips. Gets back up. Runs left. 25-30. 35-40. Peterson 45-50. Peterson, number 4 for the rookie. Tying the NFL record for a single season. Takes it all the way for the touchdown.
A middle return. Patrick Peterson's bread and butter. Drop the sickle, baby. The Grim Reaper is here.
That got Ron Wolfley and Dave Pasch out of their seat in the Cardinals booth on the Cardinals Radio Network. No doubt about it. Give me five. Just give me 5 yards, and you know what? More often than not, it's six on the punt return. Yes, I think you know who we're all talking about, the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Ron yes. Wolfley with the Grim Reaper call. So no further ado, Kerry, go ahead, welcome in our esteemed guest here, coming off a Pro Bowl in his rookie season.
You said it right. I mean, coming off a Pro Bowl, I mean, who else could you have on for the first episode of the Big Red Rage other than Patrick Peterson?
Ding.
There you go.
And you know, our producer, Jim Omohundro, asked you in the break, how many different nicknames you go by? I mean, do we need more than five fingers to count them? I mean, what's the main one the guys in the locker room or guys around the locker room, you know, they call you?
I like the P twice, okay. P2. They call me a little bit of everything, but mm-hmm. I'm all open for all nicknames.
Didn't you coin in the moniker P twice?
I think I did.
I think I did get the P twice one. I think that's the best one too. So,
what exactly was the Pro Bowl like for you? The Pro Bowl experience, Patrick?
Man, it was fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to going back again this year. You know, Hawaii, never been to Hawaii before. So I had a great opportunity to take my family members out there, my mom, my dad, my wife now. You know, we definitely had a fun and a great experience.
Wolf, you had that moment, your first Pro Bowl, right?
Yes.
You walked in the locker room.
Yeah.
You saw the nameplates and the jerseys.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Walk in there as a second-year player, you know, especially being a wedge buster, and there's Walter Payton.
Yeah.
Walter Payton's locker. I was right next to his. I was just hugging him. You know, Walter, can't believe.
Walter, get this guy off me.
Did you have any moment that?
I was like that when I met Charles Woodson before, but never on a personal level. I had a chance to hold a conversation with him, but my locker was next to his as well, and I was like, man, it's an honor to be next to you right now. And I asked him to have his jersey and everything, and it's next to mine up in my little Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, did you trade anything? Did you trade any jerseys, any helmets with the other players?
Yeah, I have the Saints helmet, and I have the 49ers helmet, and Charles Woodson jersey.
Mm. Man.
How often do you guys talk shop at the Pro Bowl and talk about actually, you know, I mean, technique and other things, best practices, if you will, or is it, no, you try and get your mind off that?
Oh, man, it's all about fun and games. We're just going out there enjoying ourselves. It's a privileged vacation, basically.
Mm-hmm. So who was your head coach and how hard did you practice?
Man, McCartney was our head coach, and we was out there for maybe 30 minutes.
I know. That's the best thing about it. I used to have five-minute practices with Mike Ditka.
Oh, man.
Ditka had tee times he had to get to.
Right? Had to play 18 or maybe 36. Kerry, did I hear him say that he got married in the offseason? Did I pick up on that?
Yeah, you heard him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a married man.
So how's domestic life now? How's the married life now?
Oh, man, it's normal still. You know, nothing changed pretty much but our last name right now. So we'll give it some years to go right now. So it's pretty fun right now.
The key word was right now.
Right. What about this guy over here? You know, he just turned 30 today. You know, I mean, clock's ticking. Is he? You think, is he destined to be married anytime soon? What's going on over here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Okay, Kerry.
You said anything
you want to share from your off season? You know, or anything like that? No.
Oh, I'm in a great, great relationship right now. But you know, the marriage thing.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So, his mic just went out, by the way. Yeah, funny how that happens when the marriage question comes up.
Very interesting. Yeah. Here we thought you went to North Carolina, away from it all. Yeah, you were going to get out of the fast lane, Kerry.
Yeah. Oh, man, they give me a lot of crap, but it's all good. I'm happy.
So how's training camp going for both of you guys so far?
Training camp is going great. You know, as a defense, I believe we're getting competitive each and every day. We got great competition at each and every position. I believe we're just making each other better all around as a secondary and as a defense, and hopefully get the offense going as well.
I think camp has been great, man. I think just coming into year two under Horton, it's been it's been night and day. I mean, last year we had so many mistakes going into week one, and this year I just don't think you'll see those. I think we're a very cohesive unit, and we're ready to go.
How confused were you guys this time a year ago with the defense under Ray Horton, Kerry? Just almost did a spit
take. Pretty
lucky,
good.
Lucky you swallowed that water. It was almost a spit take.
Yeah. As a unit, we had no clue. I think individually some players got it, I mean, faster than others did. But as a unit, we weren't together with it. So I think everybody knows where they fit now. I think, starting up front, the big guys, I mean, the Docketts and the Campbells, they know where they're going now. And, you know, on the second level, we know what we're doing, and it's just everybody fits together. And to be a good defense, you have to have that.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's funny because I think you guys ought to be called the X-Men. And the reason why I say that is because Ray Horton's going to move everybody all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the things I love about him. You really don't know where Darryl Washington's going to be every down. You don't know maybe where Patrick Peterson is going to be on every down and carry the same way.
Yeah.
Am I right on that? I mean, this is not something that I'm just noticing in practice here. This is a philosophy.
Oh yeah. It's definitely made to confuse the opposing offenses, you know, moving us around a little bit, trying to get pressure at any position that we can. You know, that's the thing I love about the defense. You know what I mean? He's going to bring each and every guy, and if we think something works out there on the field, he's going to call it. And then that's the thing we love about Coach Horton. He's a player's coach, and he definitely listens to his players.
Do you expect to get sacks this year, Kerry, as the free safety?
Oh yeah, I will get a couple.
I will get a couple. Scheme. Anybody can come at any time, right?
No question. And then we have the ability now with all the people knowing what they're doing to switch jobs, and that's big too. So it's been good.
Okay, back when I was playing, we used to call the free safety blitz a bobcat. Bobcat, right?
Bobcat.
You'd hear people screaming that a bobcat, bobcat, right? Because we could see you. We could see you creeping down. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what makes a good bobcat blitz? What makes a good free safety blitz?
A good free safety blitz. I think it depends on if you're looking at a run blitz or a pass blitz. But pass blitz is just the unexpected. Like you said, when you see the safety coming, you can as a lineman be able to shift the line to where.
But you can disguise it a little bit.
You can disguise it, but that's the thing. It's got to be you can't know where it's coming from. If you do, you can get picked up. So the disguise thing is a big deal.
You know, I'm thinking this defensive backfield this year, Patrick. All right, you're coming off a Pro Bowl. You know, you got Adrian Wilson coming off his fifth. You know, Kerry had, when he was healthy in 2010, was an unbelievable playmaker, right, with the four picks, the four fumble returning, a fumble recoveries, and the two for touchdown. So, I think, man, you guys, that could be a real strength of the defense. And B, the pressure's on William Gay or Greg Toler to keep it up at the other corner spot, right?
I mean, the pressure's on all of us, honestly. You know, we have to continue to make them plays and just go out there and execute the game plan at the full potential.
I'll talk about that pick last night by Pete Twice over here. Night practice.
Yeah, it was funny because I thought you were playing in a zone room, but you said that wasn't necessarily the case.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was some little tricks of the trade where Ray Owen has drawn up for us.
All right. We don't expect any passing touchdowns.
I want to say it, but I won't.
Against the Cardinals defense this year, but the Cardinals offense, with each passing touchdown season, Wells Fargo going to donate $500 to local schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We go next. More with Patrick Peterson on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Breeze under center, takes the snap, handoff right side, Dockett forced the fumble, ball rolling around and picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10, Rhodes to the 5, touchdown! Kerry Rhodes, twice in 2 weeks, a fumble recovery touchdown!
How about Kerry Rhodes? The saucy defense of the Arizona Cardinals starting to show.
Saucy defense, Wolf.
Saucy.
Care to explain that exactly? Saucy defense. Does that mean like with an attitude? Is that what that means?
Absolutely. The saucy defense of the Arizona Cardinals, a little bit of an attitude. I expect that saucy to turn into spicy this year.
We stepped into that one.
He set him up on that one.
So that 27-yard fumble return against New Orleans. Of course, Saints are straight ahead in the Hall of Fame game. And by the way, it is the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes. Special guest, Patrick Peterson. So look at this stat here, Kerry. I don't know if you're aware of this. Okay, even though you missed, the 9 games last year with a foot injury, 6 fumble returns, fumble recoveries, that is, over the last 2 seasons, still tied for an NFL high. Even though you missed more than half of last season, you're still tied for the NFL high in fumble recoveries the last 2 years with a half dozen.
Well, that's skill and that's some luck as well. So, I mean, it's just part of being in the right position sometimes, and that's part of it.
And that's on the grease board this year, right? Trying to force more turnovers, right?
I mean, we got to be a successful defense. You got to get the ball. You got to get the ball back for your offense, and especially for us, we want to give our offense a good chance to score and put them in good scoring positions. So, for us, we're going to take pride in doing that, getting the ball out and you can't be one of the top defenses without doing it.
You know, speaking of taking pride, Patrick, did you know you guys were the number one third down defense in the National Football League? When I heard that, I have to tell you guys, that just blew me away. Absolutely blew me away. And it was because, again, I think the first 7 weeks of the season, you guys were struggling to find yourself.
It wasn't
great on third down. Do you know how much better you guys were, obviously, over the last 9 weeks, and how much better you had to be? You did not allow offenses to convert more than 40% of the time on third down. That is an amazing stat. That is championship level. Can you do it again?
Oh, I definitely think we have the guys in the locker room to repeat that again. You know, like Kerry said earlier, a lot of guys didn't know what they were doing. We was out there walking on eggshells. A lot of guys were confused. Such as myself, not having the opportunity to go through OTAs, minicamp, and having a new defensive coordinator. I mean, that was tough on us. And having the OTAs, minicamp this year, I mean, the sky's the limits for us.
The third down thing is big, but also we were pretty good in the red zone as well.
Oh, yeah.
You were number two in the red zone. But just on the third down thing, what does that entail? What makes a good third down defense?
Well, you got to make a good third down defense, you got to win on first and second down. You got to make teams be in third and long and not good being point. In third and ones and twos, because they'll convert those more times than not. So, you know, you got to win on first and second down, make it a long third down, and your chances are better, and then we can come after you as well.
But to me, it also speaks, guys, it also speaks of so many different things, because obviously when we talk about third and obvious and being great on third down, you know, it's a passing league in the National Football League, but that tells me that you were applying pressure to a quarterback to be good on third down. It tells me that you weren't blowing assignments to be good on third down. It tells me that you guys were playing your techniques and your coverage as well, and receivers weren't running around wide open. There's a lot there, isn't there?
I think
it goes back to the segment we have in practice during the season, though, third down competitive series, what Coach Wisenhunt put us through each and every week to be prepared for those type of moments. And you know, and I think that's definitely it paid off for us.
Kerry, what didn't you like from last season, you know, that you guys definitely want to correct or remedy from a year ago?
Well, number one, I wasn't there to help out.
Stay healthy. Absolutely.
Those were the first games you missed in your NFL
first in my career.
Right?
Yeah.
That's true. You had a streak of over 100 straight, didn't you?
Yep. I think for us as a unit, just keep building. And I mean, everybody's talking about building from last year. And sometimes that can be skewed a little bit because last year's last year. Mm-hmm. But you also want to build on the things that you did positive, and that's what we're moving on right now, and I think we're doing that as a unit.
But it's interesting because the story can be told now. In fact, Ray Horton shared with the media, you know, he sort of made a half joke that said Darnell Dockett was the first guy to call me when I was hired, and he was also the last guy to buy in. I mean, there was resistance to the system, especially when there's a six-game losing skid going on, right? And he had to take it back almost to a base defense, I think, in week three against Seattle, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, another thing with that is sometimes players don't buy into the system until they see the success from it. So I think, you know, a guy like Dockett, he's been a guy that's been in the 4-3, sometimes 3-4, and he's been able to move around and make plays. And sometimes in his defense, he has to be the guy that just plugs the gap for somebody else to make a play. So it's just being unselfish and knowing that if you do your job, you're going to make plays, and your opportunity will come to make a play sooner or later. So just have faith in it.
Kerry, bunch of young guys on the defensive side of the ball that get me jacked up. Don't get me started. It's a little early here.
It's only an hour show.
Other than the guy that is sitting to your left right now.
Yep.
Name somebody that not a lot of people might be talking about right now that you just think is going to have a monster year.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people are not talking about this guy, but my guy, Darrell Washington's going to have a big year.
D-Wash.
He's going to be a freak this year, I'm telling you. It's no question.
I mean, I agree.
He's so athletic. I mean, he's a good player, man.
Is he going to be a feature guy? And, Wolf, you've talked about who's going to be moved all over. I mean, is he going to be a guy that as soon as the offense breaks out, like, where's 58? Is that going to be like that?
Well, I think that's what it's going to get to. I think he's like I said, he's so versatile that you can't just put him at middle linebacker and sit him there. I mean, he's going to move around, play some other things, and you know, I'm not going to tell you everything that's going to go on with him, but he's going to move around, though. He's going to be a very viable and a big piece for us.
I call him Jägermeister because he's a master hunter.
He's a hunter.
I mean, you look at this guy, you want to talk about a tackling machine, a human being that is built to rap and drag you down and stuff you in a bag. It is D-Wash, no doubt about it, man.
I agree.
So, Patrick, as we say goodbye, true or false, the biggest distraction in camp so far has been Wolf's face, the sunburn. I mean, what's going on? I mean, he's put the big red into the big red rage. I mean the big red forehead, the big red cheeks. I mean, you know, what's going on with this over here? Not that I should say anything about having a forehead, but...
Look at that.
Okay. All right.
Oh, he's sunburned up.
Patrick, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
He'll be back in the Big Red Rage this season. We're back right after this.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
And our defense, you know, I think we just have confidence right now. We're playing at a high level. And I can't wait to get on the field, actually, and really compete, you know, against another opponent. You know, I want to go against somebody who, you know, you don't really know that well. You got to break down on film and really go out there and compete.
See, Wolf, what you need to do next time, in addition to wearing copious amounts of sunscreen, is just stand under Calais Campbell. He's like an oak tree, and he casts a lot of shade, okay? So when the ones aren't out there, you just go ahead and stand under him.
Wolf, I know you're not going to stand for that.
But yeah, that's right, Kerry. I'm not going to take that at all. You know this, especially coming from Paul Calvisi. If Calais Campbell tucked Paul under his armpit, he'd look like a ball of lint. Look at that hair.
Okay.
Look at that hair right there on Paul's head.
He's getting a little ornery now. Oh, I set him off. There's no doubt. Actually, Wolf, you were replaced as the biggest distraction at camp with what happened this afternoon, actually. So, and the fans. How about the fan reaction to your very special guest coming up? It would be the equivalent of a stadium where the lower bowl is empty and the upper deck is full, because all the fans went over to the far end of the field where your very special guest coming up a little bit later on the Big Red Rage will join us, right?
Yeah. I wanted to think it was all about me at first.
Yeah. Right.
And that's
sure.
what I felt at
sure.
first. And then I looked over and saw him sitting down. I'm like, oh.
But, honestly, I thought Elvis was walking around. I was like, holy cow.
I just heard I was like, yeah, that's okay. That's
Paul McCartney in the house?
Mm-hmm. So how ready are you guys to hit someone else? I know Wolf's ready to hit me at this point. How ready are you guys to hit the Saints and just get a change of venue and a change of uniform?
It's always good to play against somebody else, man. We get to hit each other all day, and you get tired. That's where the fight starts, and, you know, you just get tired of it. But when you get to see somebody else, you see another color, another helmet, you get to go and tack and make plays. It's just fun. It's just part of what the NFL is about.
Kerry, what about you personally coming into this season right here? You're 30 years old. You've been in the league for a while now. Are you done making goals for the season, or do you still kind of talk to yourself and set goals going into every season?
I'm very goal-oriented. You got to make goals every year. You got to have something to reach, something to shoot for. So, I mean, for me, number one is to be healthy. First time in my career I've been hurt, so it's a chance for me to bounce back and play a full 16, first of all, and then you know, just come out and make plays like I always do. I mean, I've always been the playmaker in this league, and that's not going to stop. So just want to do that.
And in this defense, with Ray Horton as defensive coordinator, a guy's got to be salivating at the chance to make plays, I would imagine.
Yeah, man. I mean, everybody's ready to eat. Everybody's hungry, and I think that's part of it. I mean, everybody's ready to play, and I think everybody feels the success we had at the end of the year, and I feel that everybody thinks that we can get better from that point. So we're striving to get better and be a great defense, not just a good one.
You know, we heard the highlight from Calais Campbell. Of course, he got the massive extension in the offseason.
Yes.
He is locked up long term.
He's a rich man.
Yes. The NFL is a business, obviously. It's your livelihood. It's your career. And it's a contract year, right?
So, yes, it is.
So, I mean,
Kerry Rhodes light up when you said that.
Barely. Your face is still casting so much light off the sunburn. It's a distraction. But what does that mean for a player? Does it bring added pressure? Does it bring added anxiety, anticipation, excitement? And just describe that.
No, just excitement. I think it's a chance for you. It's like you're going out for an audition. I mean, you have a chance to go out and play for a team that had trusted you to bring you here in the first place. So you want to go out and play well just for that aspect in it. But also, you got to play for your own personal reasons. And for me, I know the contract is something that I do want. So something that I'll strive for, and I will play well this year. It's something that's going to happen.
Kerry, in this defense, how much does Ray Horton depend on you to get everyone lined up in the secondary?
A lot. I think I think he depends on me a lot. But I also think that now, as we've learned this defense, I think other guys are stepping up and being more vocal, and that only bodes for us being better. Because if it's not just one guy talking, everybody talking and know that we're on the same page and communicating at the same time, and just everybody being on one accord, it makes the defense that much better.
Of the young guys, and I really want you to think about this now, of the young guys, is there one of them that has made the biggest strides mentally when it comes to the defense? Is there a guy that you have noticed has really come along mentally, one of the young guys?
Mentally, I mean, I can always go back to Darrell Washington, because the first year he played here with us as a rookie, he was all over the place. He didn't know what he was doing. He just ran around and made plays. Last year, that progression built. And this year, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I can tell him to switch and do something that I'm going to do and get it done.
Because I'm hearing O'Brien Schofield.
You're right. That's a guy that struggled last year.
That really has made that mental stride this year.
You're right. He's a guy that last year probably at this time had 13 MEs, but this year he only has one on the board right now.
Wow.
Yeah, he had the flashcards going. By the end of the preseason, he was struggling so much. You know, it's like he's studying for a test almost.
He had the James Harrison syndrome going on. He had to, that's the way James Harrison learned it, the flashcards. I mean, everybody learned in different ways, so he's learned it, and he's definitely made a lot of strides.
I mean, let's face it, to begin last season, you knew the defense real well, Paris Lennon knew the defense real well, and that was about it.
That was it.
You guys were directing the entire defense.
That was it. But this year, we have a lot of confidence in everybody. They know what they're doing.
That is big time, no doubt about it. We'll continue with the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford from Cards Camp here in Flagstaff. Yes, Cardinals getting ready for the Hall of Fame game Sunday against the Saints. Back with more right after this. It's actually Magic Mike that is playing across the country right now. Theaters everywhere.
Oh, man. Your big fan, Paul, Magic Mike?
And we are joined by the star. You know, unknown to most out there, Kerry, you know this story. Obviously, our special guest knows this story, is that he actually beat out our own Ron Wolfley in the audition. And you need to think.
It was close. It was tight.
It was tight, man.
You need to think, Wolf, Saturday Night Live. Think Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley. That's what the audition looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Just get to the intros, will you please, Paul?
Actor, film producer, fashion model. I'll let Kerry Rhodes take it from there since you guys are tight, and go ahead and introduce our Hollywood celebrity who is all the rage at practice today.
You did a great job right there. You named everything, but the guy here today with me right now, I mean, he's a very good friend, close friend, and good guy. I mean, he's sitting around here doing this stuff with me right now and didn't have to, so I'm very appreciative. But he's the man, you said it, Magic Mike himself, Channing Tatum
in the house tonight. This is the road show over here. No. I've never got to come to camp before, so I figured I'd come out and see what these guys are doing.
Now, Channing, how do you guys know each other?
This is my brother. This is my brother. We don't look alike.
Yeah. Look at it.
Come on. No.
Yeah. There it is right there. You see it?
You don't see the resemblance?
Driver, I've had a lot of concussions, but yeah. I don't see the resemblance, frankly.
He's gullible, but yeah. So let me ask you this. Wolf, go ahead. I cut you off. Go ahead with the question.
No, I was just, how do you guys know each other?
We actually met through my sister, man. My sister introduced us a long time ago, and, we've just been cool since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just as you do, you meet somebody
in Alabama, right?
Yeah, you know, everybody knows each other in Alabama. You know, pretty much we're all related down there anyway.
Yeah, we're all related.
But once upon a time, you were a pretty accomplished football player yourself.
Oh, I don't know if you can call it accomplished. I played football.
If you're getting college scholarship offers, you're in the 1% essentially,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, I did all right playing in Florida, and then I didn't have good enough grades to go to Wake Forest, and so I went to a little school in Glenville State in West Virginia, and it was a 1-year thing, and then I wrapped it up after that. It was Glenville was not doing it for me.
You weren't there when Rich Rod was there, were you?
No.
No, okay. Who was your head coach?
Oh, man. Literally, I played like I'm not kidding. It was like a month, and I was like, yep, this is not for me.
Yeah, right. Okay, I got you.
Was it the game or the city?
It was the town, man. It had one Pizza Hut and a McDonald's, and that was it. I was just like, that's it. I didn't want to go to school, so I was like, that's it. I wrapped it up after that.
What position did you play, Jannik?
Safety.
Safety?
Safety.
Really?
Yes,
I should have known. Right?
So do you ever wonder, what if?
Not really. I lucked out, man. I think I found what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I think all actors want to be athletes, and I know a lot of athletes that want to be actors, and I somehow hit the lottery. I'm not really sure how it happened, but it did.
Well, how did it, if you could tell us? I mean, how did you get into acting?
Yeah, I was in Florida. Like I told you, I played it like a semester, and then I was like, that's it. I'm it. I'm coming home, man. And went back to Tampa, and I kind of just screwed off for about 2 years, and then that's where Magic Mike came from. about my real life exploits.
Exotic dancer would be the term.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. That's the nice way to put it. Stripper would be the more common term. And then I got seen on the street for modeling, and that took me up to New York, and then I started acting after that.
Seen on the street?
Yeah.
So just some talent scout?
I don't know if you can call him a talent scout. He came up this really creepy guy, and he was just like, hey, you got a representation. And I was like, for what, man? Like, what do you – back up a little bit. Just a little bit. But it turned out all right. You know, the guy turned out not to be too bad, so it was it worked out in my favor.
Wow.
So you trusted him enough just to see if he was for real?
The place that he wanted me to go to was a literal storefront. It was an agency right across the street. So I just happened to be walking by a modeling agency, and I walked in.
And what was the timeline from there to where, you know, all of a sudden you had a career?
Like an acting career, probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And I feel like I'm just now starting to hit stride. So it's 9 years later now.
Jenny, Magic Mike is what, like number five? It right now?
It's number five. We were number two when it came out. And, you know, what's crazy about that little movie, we spent $7 million on that movie. And it's made, I think we're at $110 million.
Wow. Did you write this?
I wrote it with my partner, yeah.
You wrote the script with your partner?
Reed Carolyn actually wrote it. You know, obviously it was my story, so I told him a bunch of stories, and we put it out on page.
Wow. And how accurate is it to your life story?
You know, it's theatricized a little bit here and there. We had to make it a palatable for the commercial audience, you know, so we had to shave off the rough edges, but it's still a little grimy.
Wow. And who's the better football player then, you or Matthew McConaughey? You know, because he's been a few football and sports movies.
Matthew's an avid mm-hmm. football fan, but I think I'd have to take him in that. I'd go head-to-head with him.
I see. Wow. Well, but Kerry, did you believe the reaction he had at practice? I mean, for those who weren't there today up here in Flagstaff, describe the scene during Cardinals afternoon practice.
Well, it was a mob scene. You know, we practiced on the DBs practice on the lower field, and literally, like on any other day, it's probably 10 people down there. Today it was probably
it was like the hookahs, quite a few,
and I made a one hand catch in practice, and I thought the crowd was saying woo for me. I looked back, and it was Channing doing some stretch or something. I said, oh, okay, he's got it.
Look at Mike Adams, Mighty Mike. Have you talked to Mike Adams yet?
Yeah,
I mean, Mike Adams has said for a long time that he wants to be entertainer
on this show.
And you know what's funny? I took Channing down to meet the DBs, and guess who the first guy who jumped over everybody else?
Yeah, man, we about had a dance battle. It was about to be
Mike Adams
go down out there.
Was it really?
It was about to go down. It was like you got served all over again on the field.
What kind of living could Michael Adams make in his post-playing career if he decided to go that
direction? He said he wanted to be one.
A stripper or an actor?
No, a stripper.
Exotic dancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think he'd make a good amount of money. Yeah.
He'd pay the rent with that?
Yeah, I think he could do it. Yeah. No, he could moonlight. He doesn't have to stop doing this.
Channing, if Paul wanted to be an exotic dancer,
Wolf, what tips
would you give
him? We already went there. You, Patrick Swayze, and Chris Paul.
No.
The visual's already there, Wolf.
What could you do with Paul's hair, Channing?
We always need an MC. So.
Off camera, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. The narrator.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Sure. You know, I'll just, oh, man.
There's a market out there for every guy.
Exactly.
DJ Pauly Paul.
All right, we're going to talk about what life is like because, I mean, everywhere he's gone here today, he's been absolutely swamped and mobbed. Yes. That's coming up next. It's the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes and Channing Tatum.
First down for the Cardinals on their 17. They'll hand it off to Ryan Williams, right side. He breaks a tackle at the 20. Williams to the 25 and up near the first down at the 27. And you can see on that first carry by Ryan Williams why the Cardinals like him.
You have respect for players that are gifted, that do things on the field that you just go, wow. And Ryan does that every once in a while. And I think that is what catches everybody's eye, like the 44-yard run in practice the other day.
It hasn't even been a year since Ryan Williams went down in Green Bay a year ago and tore his patella tendon, and already he is doing some things that have, you know, basically generated some gas and some oohs and ahs like, you know, Channing Tatum might get when he's out on the field. You know, it's, I mean, seriously.
Go overboard.
Fans have reacted to Ryan Williams, but you're right. Let's just say he's the redshirt rookie, right, Kerry Rhodes? It is a big red rage with Kerry Rhodes. Special guest, Channing Tatum. Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. That's the way it works, you know, when we go, we can't build that up there because, Wolf, let's be honest with it. I mean, right now, I mean, you know, our special guest here is everything that you and me are not. Let's just go ahead and put it that way. It's the inverse, I guess.
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul. Yeah.
There you go. There you go, Wolf.
Yeah. Ryan Williams, quick word on that, Kerry Rhodes. Yeah. A year ago when he got hurt in Green Bay, the entire sideline emptied out onto the field. And right there, I got the sense that, you know what, players had the utmost respect for a guy they know can play the game, right?
Hey, he's a talent, man. And just to see him back out now, right now, running the ball and making cuts the way he is right now is just a testament to how hard he's worked to get back. And, you know, when you're a special player and a special talent like he is, to also have that coupled with the ability to rehab and get back to where he wants to be already is amazing to me.
You know, what's one of the coolest things about Ryan Williams and Channing, I think you'll be able to appreciate that, or this, what I'm about to say. Ryan Williams is one of these guys where he'll be in the open field and his legs just go splayed. Suddenly he just squats.
Yep.
And then you watch everyone else around him just squat. There are very few running backs that I've seen that are able to do that, to break defenders down, and they respect how good he can break your ankles, so they squat. And Barry Sanders was one of those guys that was like that.
Yeah.
And that's Ryan Williams.
Yeah. Who's the guy, Kerry, for you that used to give you nightmares? You know, you're in the open field with, I don't know, running back X, and you're like, oh, boy. Was there a guy out there in your career that just made you look stupid and made everybody look dumb?
Well, I'm not going to say made me look stupid, Paul, okay? But I'll give you two people that did that in my career so far. I mean, my rookie year, 05, against LaDainian Tomlinson. Him in the open field when he was LT was a scary thing to see. Him and also Vic got me on Monday night. He's not a quarterback, but you know, I mean, he's not a running back, he's a quarterback, but he's also a running back.
He's lethal with that speed, obviously.
In the space, he's dangerous.
Well, Channing, I mean, as a former safety, you probably were in that position, right? Open field.
All day long.
Channing was at home on his couch saying, Kerry, I would have made that tackle.
Even if I would have hit him, he'd have just ran me right over. It would have just been over with.
Channing, what was the strongest part of your game when you were a safety?
I mean, to hit.
You liked to hit.
I just liked to bend my head. That was it. I wasn't too smart, so I just hit him as hard as I could.
You know, it's so funny, and we were talking to Channing Tatum here. Channing, you seem like such a normal guy, okay? Are you? A, are you a normal guy? And B, how have you changed?
I think I've created a nice little bubble of friends, you know, in my life that have kept me really normal. And you know, it's you don't change. You know, I could have walked down, you know, the street 10 years ago, and I'm still the same person as you walk down the street today, but I just know a lot more about acting in the movie business now because I've had about 9 years in that, and just knowledge about life. My whole job is telling stories, and stories come from people around you, and doesn't make you any different. You know, I kind of have these guys are, you know, what they do on the field are exceptional. You know, it's a very unique breed of individuals that can do what they do, and, you know, like music artists as well, and, you know, they're larger than life. You know, actors are sort of supposed to be very, very normal. If you're not a normal person, you shouldn't be acting, I don't think. You know, because, you know, you're supposed to be playing an everyday person.
Based on the reception you got today from the crowd, I would imagine you have a hard time walking down the street these days.
You know, oddly enough, as long as I don't have these muscles next to me causing attention, I'm pretty good. I can go under the radar pretty easily.
So you don't have a posse?
No.
No?
No, not really.
That's kind of
really
surprising. Paul has an entourage.
Come on. Kerry's the one with the posse. Come on, Kerry.
No. Right?
Come on now.
I don't have a posse either, man. I just got good workers around me, man.
You left the posse behind when you went to North South Carolina? You left him behind in SoCal? Is that what you did?
Yeah, they're done. It's over.
I see.
Kerry, you got a walk-around guy. Come on. You got some guy answers your phone, right?
I got some people on my team.
Look, we all got team, but you got team. You know, it's the difference between entourage and team.
I see,
Hey, quick reminder, it's not too late to be part of the Red Sea. Purchase your season tickets today. Call 602-379-0102. Back the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes and Channing Tatum. Back after this.
Cobb, a half roll to the right. Gets hit as he throws deep. Fitz is wide open. Caught it. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald. 73 yards from Kevin Cobb.
Skelton with time, fires deep middle. It's caught. Doucette at the 40, at the 30, runs left to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown!
A 60-yard touchdown pass by John Skelton.
All right, enough of the pleasantries. The gloves are off. Kerry Rhodes, it's your show. It's the Big Red Rage. Yes. You got the big guest in Channing Tatum. Who's going to start a quarterback this year? Who should start a quarterback and why? Go. Go ahead. Touch the third rail.
Way to go fast with it. No.
Go ahead. The QB question. How many times have you fielded the QB question? I mean, everybody just sort of has their own default answer ready when the media pencil necks like me come up, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's an affirmative.
It's just part of being a pro.
Is this a delay tactic here, Kerry? Yeah. Are you stalling? Are you stalling?
You've learned a little bit over there, Wolf. You learned about me.
What are the strengths, then, of the quarterback?
The strengths. I think Skelton. I saw him first. He's a big guy. He can move in the pocket. He can make people miss. If you get a guy free to him, you got to tackle a guy. He's not a small guy, so he sheds off tacklers. Kind of like Big Ben in Pittsburgh. He does that. He has a big arm. Can make all the throws. He's just, for him, I think he needs to learn all the small intricacies of playing the quarterback position. And I think that'll be a big thing for him. With Cobb, he has all the tools, man. I'm waiting for him to put it all together and just go out there and just do it. I think for him, he thinks a lot right now. I think he has a big arm. He can move, make plays. So, I mean, they all have the positives. So I'm just waiting for somebody to take the reins of it.
You guys are probably as interested as anyone, right? The defense, probably, you know, the teammates, you're probably wondering, okay,
We're not thinking about it that much. I mean, on defense, we're trying to do our job. I mean, we can't worry about who's on the center right now, so to speak. We got to learn our job and do what we have to do first. I mean, if we're going to be the strong point of the team, and that's the way we want to be, and that's the way we want to attack it, we got to do our job. And we can't worry about those guys right now.
So, Channing, you had a long conversation with head coach Ken Wisenhunt after practice. They saw there. Did he ask for your advice or input on the quarterback competition?
Yeah, it was completely. He asked me, and I gave him a long dissertation.
breakdown from practice?
Yeah, you know, no.
You charted it?
No, not at all. Man. No, he's a good guy. We just talked about Georgia in the South. He's from Georgia. I'm from Alabama. And, you know, that was about it.
I see.
So, Channing, are you a fan of any professional football team?
More college. I grew up in Tampa as well. So.
Roll Tide, right?
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Crimson Tide all the way. But I grew up in Tampa when they were not very good. And so when they got good, I had a hard time being a bandwagon, like, you know, fan. So probably New Orleans is if I had to, you know, my dad's from there, and we were big fans of New Orleans, for, like, all growing up. So probably them. But, you know, the Cardinals as well. So, I mean, you know.
I was waiting on that one. I was like, hold on. All right.
I was just kidding.
Are you one of those armchair quarterbacks since you actually played? Channing, do you yell at the TV screen or anything?
I probably yell at the commentators more, you know, when, you know, they're like, oh, he should have caught that, and it's over the middle, and it's just like, why don't you run out there and, you know, stick your neck out.
Look at this guy.
I see how big these guys are, man.
Do you have any comment on the sideline reporting that you might see?
Well, now that you ask, Wolf. Not at all.
Oh, man. Well, Wolf is one of those guys who all of a sudden, he played 10 years, but he gets in the booth, and it was such an easy game. He doesn't appreciate it.
Wolf goes the other way.
With us.
The big finish on the Big Red Rage. It is next. It's all presented by Santan Ford. Kerry Rhodes, a special guest, Channing Tatum.
It's a rough table.
All right, let's not not bury the lead here. It is the 30th birthday of one Kerry Rhodes on the Big Red Rage. And Channing, so let's see. Channing Tatum is here. You're approximately 30 as well?
32, actually.
32, okay. Yes, all right. So, you know, Kerry, I mean, how much better do you think his body feels than yours, considering the rigors of football over the last decade or so?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I think he's he feels like he's about 15 right now, the way his body feels to mine. but no, he actually gets beat up a little bit, too, doing the filming, man. He's he was doing a movie with the three-time Olympic wrestler.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
He was getting slammed a little bit.
Yeah, Mark Schultz, I was getting tore down. But, he's a beast, though. He was punishing me.
What's your next movie, Channing?
About to go do a movie in Montreal. We're about to go shoot it now with Jamie Foxx called White House Down. And it's kind of like Die Hard in the White House.
How do you decide, by the way, if you're going to do your own stunts or not? You know, he's like, wait a minute, bring in the stunt man or body double.
Hey, this is my stunt man right here, Mr. Rhodes.
Same we look alike.
We just got to light him differently.
So, Channing, I asked Kerry Rhodes. He got mobbed by the TV cameras. I was part of the interview, and I asked him, I said, so which Cardinals teammate would provide the best screen test for Hollywood? And what do you think his answer was?
Oh, shit.
Yes, he answered himself. Yes, he named himself as the most likely to succeed.
Nah, we're gonna put him in something. We're gonna put him in something for sure. Yeah, I got a couple ideas.
Oh, very nice. Okay,
how would you cast him? I mean, action? Is that what he is?
No, we gotta go love story first. You gotta go against type. against type first, love story, and then we'll go into cat.
Channing, thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
No problem. Off to a big-time start in the Big Red Rage. We will see you later in the preseason.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.